I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I knew it. I love when he does that.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Adrenaline in my soul. Something, something, Cody Rhodes.
Tribal chief around here. Yeah, you see me, the tribal chief. That's right.
On time. But let me go ahead and tell you.
Shut your bitch ass up.
Look how far we've come. You're still here. This is us. These are my confessions. Still going strong. Yeah, man. Let it go.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to episode 407 of the Hoots Podcast. Coming back to the place where this podcast started. I am back in my old house for this week, watching over my great Dan that's sitting across from me. You can't see her right now, so if you hear the barking or bowel thumping in the background, it's literally Thumper roaming around here. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to our WrestleMania preview special here for the Hoots Podcast. I believe this is our 8th one that we've done for this particular podcast, and I think 10th overall for WrestleMania preview shows from yours truly over the years. It's been an interesting journey. Last year, I didn't get the opportunity to cover WrestleMania because I didn't have a job. The year before that, I was in Dallas for WrestleMania 38. It was a lot of fun. Then the past couple years prior to that, I was doing my articles and stuff at home. But, being here this week to watch over my dog and be back in this environment where this podcast started has brought back a lot of memories and a lot of time of reflection and stuff like that. And it's kind of fitting that this week that we're doing WrestleMania here, and I'll be doing my articles from here this weekend, and it should be a good time, man. But it's WrestleMania 40. For those who are going to watch live here on Facebook or YouTube or anywhere you're watching, even on X, Twitter X, if you guys want to interact with us during the show, you can. Just come say hello. You can ask me any questions that you like, positive, negative. It really doesn't matter to me. And I'd love to hear from you guys, though. Hit me up with some predictions. What matches are you looking forward to the most when it comes to all the events there will be documenting this Saturday and Sunday in Philadelphia? It's already been a busy week for me. I am raring off the jet lag that I have for my recent trip to Puerto Rico. Very fun experience to have with my dad's side of the family, Lopez family reunion. I think this may have been the first time that we ever had that type of trip where everybody within the immediate part of my dad's side family went out of Chicago for a trip, and it was a great time. I haven't been back to Puerto Rico since I was a sophomore in high school, so we're talking almost 15 years now, and it's crazy how fast time goes, but it was really nice to spend time out there with the family. Get it. More importantly to me, one of my favorite parts of the trip was getting to reconnect and hang out with some of my cousins that I haven't seen for a very long time. Life goes in a lot of different directions, and I missed out on a lot of things over the last couple of years. So it was really nice just to like catch up with my cousins that I haven't seen as much as I would like to. And hopefully that can change now that we're back here in Chicago. But it was a great time. I had a great time out there. The place that we were staying at was fantastic. I was still able to pull off my walks and stuff like that, and what my regular daily routine goes like these days. I still do that, and it was fun. I got to do it and get to see the sunrise from Puerto Rico, especially where we were staying in Humacao. It was really interesting, a sight to see for sure. Seeing that the sun come up through the water from where we are, literally the edge on the east coast of Puerto Rico, it was pretty interesting. So I had a great time. Was able to do my SmackDown transcription out there, so that was pretty cool. And it was just a great time, and it was a quick trip. It was kind of an in and out thing, but there's a lot of positive things that I'm going to take away from this experience out there, just being out there with the family, obviously, and just appreciating the fellowship during that time period. It was really nice, and had a nice conversation with someone on Saturday night too, so it was pretty cool. Really quick, before we get into the wrestling stuff this week, I do want to say really quick that you guys could do a lot of things to help expand and reach this show. First and foremost, if you're watching this live on YouTube, please do us a favor, like this video and subscribe to our channel as we're on the road to 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel at the Hoots Podcast. You can follow us there as well, by the way. Also, if you would like, you could follow the podcast on Spotify. Pretty simple ordeal there. We do the podcast free charge every single week you get your podcast from. And literally, you can type into Hoots Podcast and it comes right to your feed. And again, you don't have to pay a single cent for it. Especially for those on YouTube, please do us that favor and like this video, subscribe to the channel, and comment down below. What are your predictions for what's going to happen at WrestleMania 40? And also, if you have any predictions for NXT Stand and Deliver, I will be previewing and making predictions for both of those PLEs coming up this weekend. My fingers are probably going to fall off by the time I get back to my house. I haven't been back in my house for a week now, and a brother misses his bed, you know. nonetheless, you can do that. Please, also, this would really help. This would really mean a lot to me. I will be covering WrestleMania 40 both nights and NXT Stand and Deliver this weekend for WrestlingHeadlines.com. Just go to the result section of the page, and that's where you can find my work. If you see me share those articles, please do a favor and share out with your friends. It would mean a lot to me. It would help get some more views to the articles, and I'm gonna put in that grunt work this weekend. You know, this is the biggest week of the year for my career and what we do for a living and stuff like that, and I'm very excited for this weekend. It's gonna be very special. And 40 years of WrestleMania. I'm turning 30 in a month, which is insane to think about as I'm speaking to y'all right now. And it's crazy, man. So my focus is 100% coming towards this weekend, and I'm going to deliver some badass content for you guys. And hopefully I do justice by some of these matches that we're going to see, like Gunther and Sami Zayn. We got, you know, all the stuff with Roman and Cody, Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins, so many different things to sift through. And I'm going to try my best to give out the best play-by-play articles this weekend that you're going to get from anybody throughout the interwebs this weekend. So I appreciate the support. And check out those articles at WrestlingHeadlines.com. I got a couple of comments piling in here. Let's start off here with the Snowman. What's going on, my man? Love you, my man. Shout out to the Snowman, one of my day one good brothers, a mentor, and just a wonderful human being, man. Snowman, I let you know, man, you got a lot of courage that a lot of people don't, man. And your strength and courage and your bravery should be really commended, because, you know, the stuff that you've had to overcome with your health stuff, man, it really keeps me motivated and keeping things in perspective, man. I love you, man, and I appreciate all the support over the years, man, and the friendship. So I want to give you a shout out. Shout out to my tío Jose, who's also still in Puerto Rico as we speak. Had a great time with my tío Jose. By the way, he created this hat that I'm wearing right now. It's pretty dope, actually. We got to get this out in like the shopping malls and Spencer's and all these different places. We got to make that happen. Seriously, this is a dope Puerto Rican flag right here. Maybe you can't tell by the color, but this is probably the hat what I would want to rock, something like that. But it's pretty cool. Really quick, I do want to mention, I know a lot of people are probably wondering what my thoughts were on the whole CM Punk interview with Ariel Helwani. This is going to be a longer podcast. There's a lot to document. What the Hell Is Wrong with AEW is back this week. there's a lot that we need to discuss here, but I got all the plugs out of the way. You know, as I just said a couple of minutes ago, man, I'm turning 30 in a month. I'm like, I don't know how to feel about it right now. It's like starting to like hit me right now. But it'll be all right. It'll be all right. So, let's address the elephant in the room, okay? I'm not going to come here and do the whole I told you so bit. I think that's kind of clout chasing and kind of, I don't know, it's kind of corny to do that type of stuff. But the talk of the wrestling world this week is the interview that CM Punk did with Ariel Helwani, and covered a lot of ground, covered the stuff with Vince McMahon. I thought his comments on that whole situation were kind of the same thing I would probably would say in that situation. So, again, another reason why CM Punk is one of my personal idols as a human being. Also, a lot of discussion about how the plan got together for him to come back to Survivor Series at the Rosemont Horizon. By the way, I appreciate it when he said that it's the Rosemont Horizon, not the Allstate Arena. It's a Chicago thing, you would understand. But it got into the questions everybody had been wanting to know. Questions about what happened during his time in AEW. You know, what happened? And the thing here that I would like to talk about here today with you guys is not more of a I told you so thing, but kind of give you another reminder as to why you should be listening to this podcast more than a braggadocious I told you so situation. I don't take pride in having other wrestling companies that are not the WWE look bad. That's not what I do. That's not my thing. But, you know, myself and Brother Carter have got a lot of flack over the years for our What the Hell is Wrong with AEW segment over the years. And sometimes I get painted with the hater tag towards AEW. I get painted as the guy that wants the company to fail and go out of business and stuff like that. And I only rock for one wrestling company, which has never really been the case. But, you know, and a lot of these clips that I'm going to play for you right now, because we're going to break down this interview for the first part of this show. And it's not just I told you so. It's the merit and base of why we expressed the thoughts that we had about the company at that time, especially when he was there before the brawl out situation, before the nonsense with Jack Perry in London. So here we are now. He's back in the WWE. First and foremost, before I get into this interview, I want to give a shout out to, I want to give a shout out to Ariel Helwani. I know many of you that have been listening to this podcast know that this is the interview that I've always wanted. This is the interview that I was shooting for and something that I wanted to have for this podcast. It kind of be like our crowning achievement to have an interview with CM Punk, right? I threw it out in the universe. I shot my shot, if you will. More times than not, in my case, when I shoot my shot, it goes in the opposite direction, unfortunately, but you know, that's life. But you know, I'm really happy for Ariel that he got the interview that I wanted to do with CM Punk. And what you saw on Monday and listened to on Monday on the MMA Hour was practically just about 90% of the interview that I wanted to do with CM Punk. If he was on this show, and I gotta give a lot of respect for Ariel Helwani. He's one of the very few actual media members to cover professional wrestling with substance and not agendas. And you know, the questions and the brevity of the questions and the layers behind those questions, I thought were fantastic. You should watch it in its entirety. It's almost 2 hours long. I guess you can even call it a podcast if you want. That's how long that interview was. But we're going to break down this interview. And again, I don't want people to get the vibe here from this week's episode that I'm just going to be the I told you so guy, because that's not what I do. My ego's not that big. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. But you know, me and Bret Hart got a lot of flack in regards to our stance, if you will, towards All Elite Wrestling. And we're going to play this. So let me pull up the screen share here. Option, and we're going to do this right now. So right now, we're going to break down this interview that Punk had with Ariel Helwani on the MMA Hour. And this is more focused on his time in AEW and the All In incident. So let's play here.
2023, London. You arrive in London.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about this. Yeah, go ahead.
How does that go? What happens?
There's nobody there to pick me up. And it's not a big deal. I just got on the tube and I was like, adventure, you know?
And you have to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. But that part was fun, but it's completely irresponsible as a company to, you know, leave somebody stranded at the airport. But, you know, I understand the sentiments, you know, people, you know, all the smarties on Twitter, like, oh, can't you just take an Uber? Will you, big crybaby? I never cried about it once. Not once.
How do people find out about these things?
That's, well, there are fans on the tube.
Okay.
They're taking pictures. Okay. You know, like, I'm sitting there. I'm just sitting on the tube. And I'm just like, this is neat.
You
know,
feel like
I'm
adult?
I'm still the guy. I when I fly in and out of Chicago, I take the blue line home.
Right.
I'm not trying to, you know, be super fancy and shit like that.
Where are you backstage? Jack Perry's on screen and he says, real glass. Why don't you cry about it? Where are you when this is said?
I was in my locker room.
Did you feel like that was directed at you?
Yes.
Why?
Okay, obviously it was directed at me.
Well, because, okay, so for those that may not know, apparently he had a trip planned. He wanted to use glass. You were consulted. You said, why would you use glass? Correct me, you lived it. So I'm trying to bring people up to speed.
This is one of those things where it's just like, there's all these rumors about NDAs.
Yes.
There's a big difference between not being allowed to talk about some shit or just not wanting to talk about
some. Well, I'm going to play the clip back in just a second. But that line right there about what you can't say, what you... There is that difference in NDAs of what you choose to address and what you can't address. And good on Punk to have the gumption to get this out there. And I'm pretty sure for him, if you ask him, he probably wouldn't want to talk about this whole thing at all with anybody. And I respect his perspective towards my field, if you will, because there is a lot of bullshit and a lot of agendas and a lot of nonsense that comes with the content that comes through a lot of these podcasts and websites and stuff like that. And that's unfortunate, but there is a dark cloud within my field of wrestling media and wrestling journalism, if there is such a thing. And I don't blame him for having that perspective. Especially to what you mentioned later on with what happened at that scrum. You know, right there, you have two puppeteers who are practically one of the loudest voices within the AEW echo chamber and have actual influence on creative. There's nobody that cannot convince me that Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer are not part of the AEW creative team. Nobody can convince me that's not the case. And they're right there. They're slandering your name. They're putting you in a bad position from a procession point of view because they're friends with the Young Bucks. So, yeah, when you look at those two guys who, in a lot of ways, are looked as the standard bearer of what I do for a living, it pisses me off. Because, yeah, okay, maybe I don't have the following from a vocal standpoint like a Sean Ross Sapp, who does a lot of great work. I'm not here to knock Sean. You know, he does what he does. Or Denise Salcedo, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have that following, right? I'm more known mostly for my transcription work than I am for this podcast. You know, we've had this show for 8 years. We just recently surpassed 1 million downloads on Anchor. I'm very proud of the stuff that I've been able to accomplish within this podcast as well. But I also have to be honest with myself and, you know, take a look at where I stand within my colleagues. Do I feel that I'm the best transcriber in the world when it comes to doing those play-by-play articles? You're damn right I do. But also at the same time, am I up there in the upper echelon of well-known, recognized wrestling media members? No. And there's probably a reason behind that, because I'm not a clout chaser and I don't need to do things and make tweets during live shows just to get likes and retweets and stuff like that. Like, I just don't roll like that. So, you know, you got Punk and he has this perspective towards wrestling media, and somebody who's been in this game for 10 years, I'm only speaking for myself, I don't blame him for having that negative outlook towards what people like myself do for a living. Now, I don't pump out rumor and innuendo bullshit. I do happen to have work that's on a dirt sheet, technically. But, you know, you got to take the good with the bad with it, you know? But, again, that was a whole big scuttlebutt about NDAs and what could have happened here and blah, 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 blah. And that was interesting for Punk to address that, because he didn't have to address that, you know? So let's continue on here. I'll stop rambling.
Some shit. I don't necessarily want to litigate this again.
You say again, you've never talked about it publicly, but no, you mean like just like
I guess I haven't, but that's the thing. So Tony's big idea was separate show. We're going to separate everybody. And I said, that'll never work. Just let me go. Just get me out of here. Just pay me my money. I've already been off TV. I hurt this arm. Just get me out of here. You know, no, can't let you go. Why? Just let me go. Who cares? It's best. I mean, these guys don't want me here. This isn't a real business. This isn't a business predicated on making money, drawing money, selling tickets, you know, doing business. It's not what it was sold to me as. So let me go. Oh, I can't let you go. I'm going to do this new show. You're going to have blah, blah, blah. And then the second day we have this show, I'm sitting in catering, minding my own business, and Tony Schiavone comes and gets me, and he's like, hey, I really need your help. And I was like, what? He's like, Jack is, you know, cussing me out, and he's cussed out Mike Mansuri, and he cussed out Daryl from production, and he's cussing out the doctor right now. Why? What? And I was immediately like, dude isn't supposed to be here. You know, I was told people are getting separated, so there's not problems, and you don't want me involved in this, because just like everything else I've explained before, like, y'all need to handle this, because if you don't, I'm going to handle it, and you're not going to like the way I handle it. Prophetic words. So he's begging me. Now, please, he drags me out of catering. I go up. Hook and Jack are doing an angle. I don't know anything about Jack going on vacation. All I know is there's a litany of people that don't want, they work one day a week and they don't want to. So they want to show up and wrestle and then film vignettes and then sit at home for 4 weeks. Great. Not my company. Do what you want. But not on my show. That was my attitude. So I said, Tony, you really want me doing this? Yeah. And I walked up to Jack and he was sitting in a car. What he wanted to do is, it was a rental car. What he wanted to do was smash the window of the rental car with a pipe. And I was just like,
all right, let's bring it back here. I'm going to apologize in advance. My dubby here is snoring a little bit. But I was going to say, you know, one of the things that me and Bert Carter have really expressed of, like, frustration from our point of view is that, yeah, we're not in the wrestling business. We're not going to come here and try to act like we're smarter than everybody else and that we have a better perspective on everything and we have all the inklings of what's going on and what isn't. But when it's so obvious when you watch the show, or in my case, for a lot of years that I was covering AEW when they first started, a lot of their shows, a lot of their pay-per-views, and you can see it right in front of you of what the problem is. But a lot of people with, again, with them, I feel, were pointing a blind eye to it because it's a new company. It's not run by Vince McMahon. And we're going to try to make this come off with the vibe of something that it's not, you know. So you look at everything that's gone on with AEW for the past 5 years, stagnated ratings, piss poor ticket sales, a vibe of TNA with a mixture of ECW and WCW in between. And then you got never ending PR issues, whether it's Sammy Guevara getting in fights, being reckless in the ring, you know, the whole stuff with Big Swole and Tony Khan, Tony Khan's Twitter game or lack thereof, the stuff here with CM Punk, obviously. And then to the point he just mentioned there about, you know, the boys, you know, having power within the structure of the company. And we've said it for so many years, and it was said about WCW in the past, the boys should not be running things. That's, I don't have to be in the wrestling business to know that. The evidence is right there in front of your screen. It's what we watch every single week on TBS. This is what we saw with WCW. When you have the inmates running the asylum for a startup company, because everybody wants to make the excuse about them being a young company. Well, guess what? When you call your company All Elite Wrestling and it still hasn't grown in 5 years, I'm sorry if I don't have any sympathy for you. I'm not apologizing for that. It's pathetic, to be honest with you. The whole thing about needing to split the rosters and having a Raw SmackDown feel because Tony Khan is incapable to be a boss and have these adults go into a room and settle their issues out like professionals, like grown men. And you can't do that for a silly thing like pro wrestling. And this is a guy who's part owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars and has the stuff with Fulham Football Club. You, of all people, Tony Khan, would understand the importance of having camaraderie in a locker room and stuff like that. And stuff like this shouldn't be happening. Tips in social media that brew into fights backstage. Not even just to see a buzz. Think about this. Andrade and Sammy Guevara were talking shit to each other and they got into a fight. Now, again, this is entertainment. This is sports, you know, people, fights are going to happen. I played sports. I've seen my share of fights and stuff in locker rooms. I played sports before. I know how it works, but you also find a common ground to get back to focus of what your intentions are and making this company special and making it a true alternative and something that can be sustainable and people actually want to look forward to. Can anybody tell me with a straight face that you are always on anticipation to look forward to things that are coming out of All Elite Wrestling in 2024? Yeah, maybe in 2020 or when Punk first arrived at the first dance at the United Center, I was at that show. But everything that I just mentioned there, and one of the things that me and Brett Carter have expressed on this show about what's wrong with AEW is Tony Khan himself. The fact that it got to this point where you're having Tony Schiavone being the head of PR, not public relations, but human resources, I guess, within the company. You got wrestlers in the creative room. I'm sure you got Alvarez and Seltzer and other dirt sheet writers attached some way. I mean, Will Washington is working there, you know. and it's not a knock at Will, but facts are facts. You have a wrestling media member in your creative team. How can people take you seriously? And again, this is not a knock towards Will. Will is a great person. He busted his ass for over a decade and a half with his podcasting stuff. The guy is very talented. I see a lot of myself within him with his like recall and like retentive memory and stuff like that of No, just have great memorization skills. I see a lot of myself in Will when I watched Grassity and stuff like that. Did I agree with everything that he had to say? No. But again, I'm not here to knock Will Washington. I don't think he's bad for the wrestling business. But from an optic standpoint, when people already point out the flaws in your programming and your one of your solutions is to bring in a dirt sheet writer and into your field, and then you got Chris Jericho influence. Then you got bringing Bryan Danielson, who is viewed as a messiah, and he can do absolutely nothing wrong, and his perspective is the only thing that's right in professional wrestling. I don't buy into that shit. I know Bryan Danielson has a high opinion of himself, and he's one of the best technical wrestlers of all time, and I'm not going to come here and deny that fact. But technical wrestling, a guy who said Dean Malenko was one of his driving forces for how he shaped his character, it's not somebody that I'm going to run to for ideas for creative for producing television each and every single week. I'm just being honest. Bryan has a one-way mindset, and that's what it is. Then again, to go back to Tony Khan, this all goes back to Tony Khan. I've always said what's wrong with AEW is the owner itself. A owner that's so stuck in his dirt sheet message board ways, can't see the forest through the trees. And here's the biggest thing too. Watch the show. Where's the identity? We could bring in every ex-WWE person that you want into the promotion. Then, you know, it's either a disappointing run. We have stuff like this behind the scenes with CM Punk, which we'll get back to in just a couple seconds. And it's just not delivering. There's no... I don't believe there's a return on investment financially with that promotion. And there's not, more importantly, there's not a return on investment as us as viewers and as an audience of consuming AEW's product. And that's the problem. I'm not saying that them existing is a bad thing for pro wrestling. I've never said that. I never wanted them to fail. But where the fuck is their identity? What about it? What about your promotion is so special that it's head and shoulders above the rest? Messaging and identity means a lot, especially if you're going to be a wrestling promotion. What I really appreciated about Lucha Underground is the fact that they had an identity and they had a underground feel to it. When I watch AEW, I feel like I'm watching what AP nerds and geeks would present as professional wrestling through their lens and nobody else's. And we're at such a higher level than you because we're message board twats and you're over here. So our opinion of wrestling is so higher than yours and you're here, right? But at the same time, they don't have the self-awareness to realize that their product is full of bullshit half the time. So, I'm watching a product that has a feel, an aura of TNA, of WCW, of ECW, and I can't. There's nothing about AEW that I can pinpoint to it that, okay, that's AEW. Don't give me Maxwell Jacob Freeman. That guy is an anomaly. Maxwell Jacob Freeman would be who he is within any wrestling promotion. Don't give me Maxwell Jacob Freeman as your pinpoint. And don't even dare throw pockets in my face. But let's continue on here with this interview with Punk. Let's see what else he has to say about this.
It's a rental car. And I very politely, because I like Jack, I was just like, Doc's told you no. Daryl's told you no. Mike's told you no. Shivani's told you no. And now I have to tell you no. And apparently you've cussed them all out. So I'm telling you, no, we don't do that here. If you want to do this, go to Wednesday and do it. Right. And he had no problem. He said, okay. He said, well, I just thought it was a really cool idea. And I said, it might be, but this is a rental car. Boys ruin it for the boys. You're going to smash the window of a rental car and you're going to return it with no fucking window. And now whatever national budget hurts, whatever, is going to be like, don't rent cars to pro wrestlers anymore. This is a thing that's happened.
Right.
This is, you know, so I wasn't trying to throw my weight around. I wasn't like, this is my show and you got to get out of here. I was just like, this is fucking dumb, man. And he wanted to do it because so he didn't have to fly back to Canada. And I, you know, sorry, man, we're privileged to be in this business. We're privileged to do this for a living. Like, I get it. I didn't want to go to Canada either. All the flights were delayed, canceled. Everybody's travel sucked. But to come to this new show when everyone's supposed to be separated, to get rid of all the drama, and then, you know, swearing at the doctor because the doctor's like, it's real glass. You're going to, you know, like, shit's going to go in your eye. Like, and I get it. I used to be that kid that was like, young and I want to do this, you know, but there's a safe way to do it. And I politely explained that to him. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't cuss at him. I was just like, I very much just said, we don't do that here. This is Saturday. It's a different show. If you want to do stuff like this, do it on Wednesday. That was it. I didn't think there was going to be a problem. He obviously took something very business-minded, very personally. And that's fine because I've done that before too, but it's very much who he's friends with. And you know, shit never got squashed. Nobody's in charge, and it turned into what it turned into.
So he says that, clearly a shot at you, as you said. Match is over. He goes to the back. What happens?
I went to Tony, and I was just like,
which Tony, by the way,
Khan.
Okay.
And I was like, please handle that. Like, please. And he was like, what do you want me to do? And I was like, I'm not telling you what to do. Just be the boss, please. Like, I'm tired of this shit, you know, like I told you this was a mistake. And I told you separate shows wasn't going to work. And now we're all here. And, you know, like, please handle it. Because if you don't, you're not going to like the way I handle it.
Did he handle it?
No. No.
So you did?
Yes.
What happened?
Jack came back from his match. I was the next match. I'm sitting there. I got people with me. I'm not going to say who they are, you know, because I got a lot of friends who work there, and I wish them all well, and I don't want them to be punished because they're friends with me, you know. And I walk up to him, and I'm just like, Jack, why do you insist on doing this dumb internet shit, like, on TV, you know? And he's just like, well, if you got a problem about it, do something about it. And I was just like, man, come on, man. You know, I'll fucking kill you. Like, what are we doing, you know? And it just, you know. It's like Chael says, sometimes you just can't let you get close. You know, I thought I was doing a responsible thing. You know, I didn't punch anybody. I just choked somebody a little bit. Samoa Joe was there, told me to stop. And then I quit. I turned to Tony and I said, this place is a fucking joke, man. You're a clown. I quit. I went to my room, and then Joe and Jerry Lynn came and got me, and they're like, let's just go out there and kill it. Let's just, and I was just too fired up, and I'm fired up now, and I'm probably going to regret, you know, talking about all this shit, but that's what happened.
Okay. So for those that don't know, you actually did go out and wrestle.
Yes.
Is that all just a blur for you, that match? Do you even remember?
No, that match is, I was just like, this is the last time I'm ever going to wrestle Samoa Joe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is my last match in this company.
You knew that.
Yeah. I quit. I said, I fucking quit.
So why did you even go out?
For Joe.
Right.
For Joe, for Paul Turner, the referee, for Jerry Lynn, the agent on the match, because I, you know, respect him. And I thought it was the professional thing to do. All the fans, you know, a lot of fans there.
Yeah.
You know, probably a lot of them to see me, you know. So just go out there and give them a show.
100,000 fans, right?
I don't know. You have to check the turnstile count.
And so...
I mean, everything that Brooke Carter and I have expressed in what we've seen in real time, not 2020 hindsight, in real time, if things progress, or in this case, degress within the means, not only product-wise, but behind the scenes with AEW, we've hit the nail on every single thing. And it's not a I told you so thing. It's a why you should listen to this podcast thing. I've been covering this industry professionally now for 10 years. There's a lot of people that put a blind eye to certain situations with certain trends and stuff, and just looking things from a surface level point of view in face-to-face, real deal stuff. And we're talking about a form of entertainment that's subjective, and, you know, a lot of it comes down to, you know, speculation and, you know, trying to project where things are going to go with certain angles and stuff like that. A lot of people want to be having that, hey, look at me, I got this right first, you know, that type of stuff. And there's a lot of nuance and there's a lot of substance that gets tossed aside in a lot of ways when you listen to shows like this, or you go check out a podcast, or you check out a live show from a wrestling website. And a lot of it has next to zero substance or nuance to it. And I don't need you to agree with everything that I express on this show. I'm fine having debates. I'm fine with people disagreeing with my perspective. And half the time, I don't think that I'm always right with what everything that's going on with wrestling. I don't have the answers to all this shit. I call myself a student of the game for a reason, because I want to learn, and I'm taking this one week at a time. A lot of people tie themselves in knots mentally, especially on air when you're doing these type of shows, because we have to feel like we have to have this far-fetched idea out there, concept and narrative of what's going on with the product, and not seeing what it is right in front of us. And, you know, all the pontifications of the world, everything in between, it's just so ridiculous. It really is. Everything that went down that caused that fight with Jack Perry at All In last year, even the stuff with Brawl Out, which I crowned cult here ad nauseum when it happened a couple years ago, all of this could have been prevented. All this could have been done. All this could have never happened, and Punk would still be in AEW if Tony Khan had the actual ability and self-awareness to be a boss. And that's the thing. When I call him a money mark, it's not just to rip off Jim Cornette or people or Eric Bischoff. I know those are the more popular names out there in the wrestling realm that criticize AEW to the extent that we do. But it doesn't take Eric Bischoff, Jim Cornette, or Josh Lopez, or Brother Carter to tell you what's wrong with AEW. They show it to you each and every single week, and they show it to you on social media with that freaking clown going out of his way to tweet things and throw things out to the echo chamber. And all these people, people who do shows like this, still eat that up. I still see people that are convinced that AEW is going to start averaging over 1 million viewers soon. This has been almost 2.5 years now. They weren't averaging 1 million viewers when Punk was there, and it's regressed since then. So, again, you have your top star, a guy that you wanted to give a higher position of power to, which you shouldn't have in the first place, and I'm saying that as a CM Punk fan. You give him this power to have that say over what's going on in Collision and what isn't. So here we are now, and one of your talents just wants to get one up on him because he's butt buddies with the Young Bucks. And then what happens. So yeah, he is a clown. He is a clown. He's inept at his job. And his response to all this interview that happened with Ariel Helwani was a freaking piss poor attempt at damage control, which I'll get to later on when we do What the Hell is Wrong with AEW this week. You know, it's very funny. This time last week, I was talking about, you know, maybe I should stop doing What the Hell is Wrong with AEW. Maybe the segment's run its course. And then we get this week. Really, this segment in a nutshell is really me auditing the narratives and nonsense that comes from my field. That's really what the hell is wrong with AEW is, if you really want to know the purpose behind the segment. So, anyways, everything that Punk said, I'm not surprised. We talked about it here on the show. And, you know, what really bothered me about the whole situation is that I didn't want this for Punk when he came back, because it was a monumental moment for him to come back to professional wrestling after being gone for 7 years. And for it to end like that, and that first impression that you get is that run in AEW. Yes, he had the feud with MJF. Awesome. It was a great feud. But for that to be the last stench on the first impression of your return that could have been capitalized, executed, that could have brought AEW to even a higher level than where they are right now, it's one of the biggest fumbles in the history of professional wrestling. That is not a hot take. That is fact. AEW dropped one of the biggest opportunities in professional wrestling history. You dropped the ball with CM Punk way worse than WCW dropped the ball with Bret Hart following the Montreal Screwjob. And you only have yourself to blame for it. So, with that being said, this is why you should listen and watch the Hoots podcast, because I'm not going to come here and mislead you about what's going on with this promotion. So, all that being said, that is the opening monologue for this week's podcast. When we come back, we'll get to what you guys want to came. We'll get to what you guys came here for this week, and give you some preview predictions. No, for WrestleMania 40 and NXT Stand and Deliver right here on episode 407 of the Hoots Podcast. By the way, 407, that's a great area code. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody, here to episode 407 of the Hoots Podcast. How to talk about what happened this week in WWE. We are just about 48 hours away from WrestleMania 40, night one, from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and a little less of 40 hours away from NXT Stand and Deliver as well. So we got a lot of stuff to discuss for those who are watching live here on YouTube. What? Facebook, what, anywhere, what. Please like this video, subscribe to our channel, so we're on the road to 1,000 subscribers. Also, don't forget to comment down below, give me your predictions for WrestleMania 40 this year. I'd love to see what you guys are looking forward to. What is your conspiracy theories out there? I'd love to hear from you guys this week as far as what's catching your eye for WrestleMania 40 this year. And we're going to be talking about that in detail right now this week in WWE. First and foremost, I do want to mention really quick that, you know, The Rock has been doing a lot of interviews recently. Rock did a piece today on ESPN, I believe. The Rock had an interview chronicalizing his recent return to WWE and what's to come down the road for him in his run with the promotion. Pulling up some tweets here for the articles because I can't read the entire thing. But Rock was doing interviews, and here we go. So first, let's take a look at some of these tweets, shall we? I got them right here. Give me 1 second. And bam. All right. So first one here, we'll take a look here. Give me 1 second. Got it right here. Bam. Cody Rhodes. I got to tell his story. So here we are at WrestleMania 40. What can we deliver for them? How can it be unique? How could it be different? And how can we still put on the biggest WrestleMania of all time? This is a really great piece on ESPN. Cody Rhodes was also doing the media rounds this week. He was, I think he was on First Take yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. So that was pretty cool. Let's continue on here. He says, this is a very interesting line here, because what's his status going to be following WrestleMania? I'm not off the board after WrestleMania. I'm still on the board, and I always will be a part of this, and we are in it now. This is our thing, and will forever be our thing. And that's been a million-dollar question, right? What's going to happen with The Rock at the WrestleMania? Will you see him at SummerSlam? I believe there's a couple of movies that he's going to be filming after WrestleMania this year. But you just heard it from The Rock right there. He's going to be around. I think there's definitely a possibility down the road where The Rock is probably the highest level executive at TKO. In some ways, The Rock is owning WWE right now. He is the final boss. So, it's great to have The Rock back. I've been singing his praises. His work in this build towards WrestleMania speaks for itself. But it's great to have The Rock back and to see how you could tell in his eyes. You could see how genuine it's been for him that he's been this excited for what's going on for WrestleMania this year, and just for him to be back in the fold right now with professional wrestling. And once a wrestler, always a wrestler. So that's pretty cool. Let's not waste a lot of time here. You know, I could go over stuff from Raw and SmackDown, but you guys are here for some predictions and some analyzation work, if you will. So I'm going to give that to you. We're going to start off with our predictions here for NXT Stand and Deliver first, because I want to do this in order. Excuse me. Here we go. So before I preview the matches, we have a little tradition here on the podcast where I do my excrement impression of matches that are already announced for this show. And I'm going to do that for you right now. So here's the matches coming up for Stand and Deliver. Here you go. Oh, coming to you live this Saturday from the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's NXT Stand and Deliver 2024. Here's your matches. First on the pre-show, it's Shawn Spears taking on Joe Gacy. This match was made official this past week on NXT TV. First, for a triple threat match for the NXT North American Championship, it's Omafemi against Dijak and Josh Briggs. Next, the match. It's a special tag team match. Six-woman tag team match. Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, Kalani Jordan takes on the team of JC Jane, Kiana James, and Izzy Dane. From there, this match made a couple of weeks ago on TV for the NXT Women's Championship. It's Lyra Valkyria taking on Roxanne Perez. Next, for the NXT Tag Team Championships, it's Baron Corbin, Braun Breaker, the Wolf Dogs taking on the team of Axiom and Nathan Frazier. From there, for the NXT Championship, it's Ilya Dragunov taking on the Don of NXT, Tony D'Angelo. And the main event, a special grudge match featuring Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. So there you go. There's your excrement impression for Stand and Deliver. This card is pretty good, folks. I'm telling y'all, you need to stop sleeping on NXT, man. They are delivering some good content right now. They are delivering the goods during this WrestleMania season. They had a crazy triple threat match that I covered this past week on TV with the Good Brothers, LWO, and Axiom and Nathan Frazier. That was sick. Their match with the Wolf Dogs this weekend is going to be sick as well. This card in general is pretty good. I want to give a big shout out to Lyra Valkyria. She's one of my favorite female wrestlers in the world. Obviously great to look at as far as Waterfall is concerned, but more importantly, I thought her promo this week towards Roxanne Perez and that Supernova session segment, I thought was very good, and she's been doing some really good work. So I'm very excited for that match. That's one of the matches I'm looking forward to covering the most this weekend, is that Lyra Valkyria Roxanne Perez match. That's going to be very, very good, and I'm looking forward to it. But you know, let's start off there. That'd be my first prediction to do here. I think this match does have the possibility of stealing the show. I really do. I think this match could be fantastic and deliver, pun intended, on the big stage here in Philadelphia. But I think these ladies are going to kill it. I do believe Vlad Valkyrie will retain, though. Roxanne Perez does have a lot of momentum for her. She is a new heelish character. I don't think Lyra Valkyrie is going to lose, though. I could be wrong. This is one of those matches that could go either way. It's not a bad thing on my end, personally, whether one person can't win the match or blah, 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 blah. This person has to win or else. I don't like doing that with pro wrestling. I think it's kind of silly at times, but I'm excited for this match. These two ladies are going to beat the crap out of each other, and it's going to be a fun technical match as well. And you could tell by my how giddy I am here for this match. It's going to be very good. From there, we have the triple threat match for the NXT North American Championship. I think this match is going to kick off the show. Big meaty man bumping meat. Obafemi against Josh Briggs and Dijak. We have a triple threat barn burner of heavyweights here. This match is going to be insane. This is another toss up here because Obafemi has impressed me a lot. He's one of the young prospects for the NIL program. And the guy, you know, obviously does need a lot more experience, obviously, but for what he's been doing so far, I'm very impressed with his timing and just his presence. And his promos have been pretty decent as well since he's been part of the NXT roster. And, you know, he was the winner of the breakout tournament this past year. I think Obafemi's stock is rising. I really do. But Dijak, this is a big moment for him, for Dijak. This could be his first opportunity to win a championship. And I think it's overdue for him. So, you know, maybe, I could completely understand if you want to make Obafemi just look completely unstoppable and lay out both guys at the same time. Hell, you could even do a stack pin situation like Roman Reigns a couple of years ago. But for me, this is maybe more my fans speaking for me than, you know, I wouldn't call myself an expert, but my analyst head would probably say Oba retain. But the fan in me, Joshy, I'm going with Dijak to win the NXT North American Championship. For Nair, this match was made official this last week on television for the six-woman tag match. This one's very kind of a petty feud. Thea Hale and JC Jane are at odds now. They were kind of friends where JC Jane was trying to convince Thea Hale to turn her back on Chase U. That ended up being a weird situation, and then JC ended up saving the school with having like a photo shoot of calendars, I guess. Then from there, you know, they're bringing in this new girl, Jasmine Nix. Thea Hale messes up her arm really bad last week on TV. Then, you know, we go into this past week of television, JC Jane has a solid match with Fallon Henley. We have a lot of shenanigans at the outside. Kiana James and Izzy Dame, who are kind of like the mean girls, I guess, within the NXT brand. They stuck their nose into the whole situation. And then, you know, Kalani Jordan wants to get revenge on Kiana James. So we have a lot of combustible elements here, but if you ask my opinion, I'm going to go with the faces here. I think Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, and Kalani Jordan get a big victory here on Stand and Deliver. And I think the crowd will eat that up too. So this will be a good match. For the tag titles, I do believe that Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin will retain over Axiom and Nathan Frazier. This match is going to be sick. This could be one of the matches of the weekend for sure. Breaker and Nathan Frazier in the ring at the same time is going to be fantastic. I think Corbin is going to get a lot of praise from a lot of fans this weekend, which is going to be well long overdue, which is going to be pretty cool too to think about it, because if you look at Corbin, especially since he's been in NXT, I think for him having this platform this weekend for WrestleMania for him, and seeing how the development of this tag team has come together, I think it's pretty cool. So, yeah, I do believe that Corbin and Breaker will retain, but this is going to be a very good match, and hopefully I can get all the moves down, because sometimes doing those matches with Nathan Frazier and Axiom can be a chore for me sometimes to transcribe, because there's so much going on. It moves so fucking fast that you kind of lose you could find yourself falling behind the weight side sometimes trying to follow along what's going on there. So that's what it is there. Let's continue on here with the matches here for the show. I got Tony D'Angelo. I have Ilya Dragunov retaining over Tony D'Angelo. This could be a fight. This could be a physical fight. I don't know if this match will steal the show or whatever, but I think these guys are going to beat the crap out of each other. I really do. So I'm excited for this match. I think it's going to be very good. But Ilya Dragunov will retain over Tony D'Angelo. That's my pick there. Then from there, we got the main event of Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Trick Williams is putting down Carmelo Hayes. Yep, Trick Williams is beating Carmelo Hayes this weekend. It's on site. I love their face-to-face segment on NXT this past week on television. I thought it was very, very good and very entertaining. So I thought that was a lot of fun. And I'm excited for that match. I'm excited for Stand and Deliver as a whole. I think it's going to be a fun night. So those were the matches there for Stand and Deliver. Don't forget, you can check out my coverage for NXT Stand and Deliver coming up this Saturday at WrestlingHeadlines.com. Let's take a look at the matches for WrestleMania 40. And, you know, what was really interesting this week on television on Raw, when I did get back to the city, I had a crazy-ass travel day on Monday. I'm not going to get into that right now. But, you know, looking at what happened, for me, I thought it was pretty cool that they gave out the whole match order for both nights in advance. So I thought that was very interesting. And looking what we got here, we got some nice lineups for both nights, to be honest with you. I know there's been a lot of conjecture about Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre being a short match for the World Heavyweight Championship. I don't think that's going to be the case. Will it be a 30-minute match? I don't think so. But that's one take there I want to get out of the air. I don't think that's going to be some type of short thing here. But let's take a look at the matches here for WrestleMania 40. Let's start off here with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch for the Women's World Championship. This feud has gone very petty between both ladies on this road to WrestleMania. And, you know, Rhea Ripley was on the MMA Hour, and Becky Lynch was a guest on the show last week, and they have different perspectives on what truly is a champion in today's wrestling. And I don't know if they have actual issues with each other, but I know this could be a very physical match. Becky Lynch this is a big moment for her. You know, obviously her contract's still up in the air. Will she resign? Won't she? What's going to happen with that when it comes to her future in WWE? This could be another signature victory for Rhea Ripley as she takes down another member of the Four Horsewomen at WrestleMania. And I think that's going to happen. I do believe Rhea Ripley will retain over Becky Lynch, but this could be a very physical match. I'm pretty sure Dominic Mysterio will stick his nose in there somehow. But I'm going with Rhea Ripley to retain over Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. It's going to be a tremendous match. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if these ladies kick off the show on Saturday. All right. Following that, we'll go to The six-pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed WWE tag team titles. The Judgment Day is Finn Balor and Damian Priest taking on DIY, The Austin Truth, The New Day, A-Town, Down Under, and New Catch Republic. This match is going to be insane. This is going to be an absolute barn burner, and I'm really looking forward to this match coming up this Saturday for WrestleMania 40. This match can be a car crash. Anything can and probably will happen during this match, so we'll have to see how that one plays out. But to me, a couple things to look out for this match. You know, it's possible that, you know, DIY, you know, either they could find a way where maybe they turn on each other. That's a possibility. I'm throwing it out there. It's happened before. Can't always trust Tommaso Ciampa, but I don't think they're winning. I'll throw that out there. What goes down with the Judgment Day? This is gonna be a big weekend for Damian Priest, so maybe you can see a future of where things are heading with the Judgment Day. There's been some kind of awkward tension throughout that group for the last couple of months. And I think that for the most part, I think that Judgment Day is probably going to be splitting soon. So from there, there's a possibility. I would not be surprised if Austin Theory and Grayson Waller win this match. But also, they said this match is not over until both sets of tag team titles are removed. So here's the thing. Do the Austin Truth get the Raw tag titles and A-Town Down Under get the SmackDown titles? That's a possibility. You could have two winners here, and that splits the championships together. And, you know, we don't have to have one set of tag titles. We can go back to where it was originally for the brand split. I know some people are for or against the brand split. I think that concept is kind of overstated. It's welcome if you're asking my opinion, but there's a lot of different scenarios, but if there's one singular winner for this match, I think it'll probably be the Austin Truth, but there's also a possibility where Austin Truth and A-Town Down Under come home with both titles, so I'm just going to throw that out there. Let's continue on here. We'll go to Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi against Damage Control in a six-woman tag team match. This match was made official this past week on SmackDown. We saw the debut of Jade Cargill. Looked fantastic. You know, this is a nice showcase match for her, Naomi, and Bianca Belair. You know, Damage Control. I think Dakota Kai's been putting in some good work recently with her matches. So props to her. Go out to her for sure. But I do think Bianca, Naomi, and Jade Cargill will get the victory there. So nice victory for the sisters there down there in Philadelphia. It's going to be a good match. LWO against Legado. We have the LWO, Rey Mysterio, and Dragon Lee taking on Santos Escobar, Dirty Dominic Mysterio. I think Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio are going to beat Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. I don't think this could be a two-year-in-a-row situation where Rey gets the best of Dominic. I think it could be a possibility that Dominic pins Rey at WrestleMania this year. And then you can finish it off next year in a retirement match, hair versus mask. It's kind of interesting to have a father-son trilogy at WrestleMania. That's never happened before. So I do believe Santos and Dominic will beat Rey and Dragon Lee, but it will be a good match. I'm looking forward to it. That should be a good one. Other ones here, before we get to the big tag match, I know you guys are excited to hear my thoughts on that. Let's go with this one. Brother versus brother. Jimmy against Jay. Yeet or no yeet? That's the question. Yeet or no yeet? Obviously, I would love to see Rikishi get involved somehow in this match. I don't know if he will. Hopefully, he's at ringside during this match. I think that'd be pretty cool. This is going to be a very emotional match. maybe just with the nature of it, maybe from the emotion standpoint, this could steal the show for Saturday night. I don't know, but I hope Jay and Jimmy get some time, and I hope this is not one of those matches where the crowd is just sitting on their hands during it. This is a big opportunity for Jimmy Uso to kind of prove some of his doubters wrong. I know Jimmy Uso can deliver on the big stage. I've seen it before. And this is Jey Uso's first singles match as main event Jey Uso at a WrestleMania. So think about that. Brother versus brother. Big fight feel. It could go either way. Is this where Solo gets involved? There is a possibility that Jimmy Uso will beat Jey Uso. But one thing after another, I do believe there could be a possibility that Jimmy and Jay either shake hands with each other or hug each other after the match is over. This could be a very emotional match, but I think Jey Uso will beat Jimmy Uso at WrestleMania this year. So that's my pick for that match. Then from there, we go to Gunta, the Ring General, against Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. This is definitely one of the matches I'm looking forward to covering the most this weekend. This could be a barn burner. Gunther goes from night two to night one now. And Gunther, he's very proficient in putting on barn burners and classics on big stages. And this will be no different. This will be no different at all. So I got Gunther retaining over Sami Zayn. There's going to be some shenanigans, man. I'm sure Chad Gable will come out there. Maybe we finally see the Imperium guys come back. They haven't been together as a unit during this build towards this match. But I do think Gunther, one way or another, will squeak out a victory over Sami Zayn, and he'll retain as your longest reigning and most dominant Intercontinental Heavyweight Wrestling Champion. There you go. I got the tagline right. So, yes, I do think Gunther will retain over Sami Zayn. Then we got the tag team main event. The Bloodline, Roman Reigns, and The Rock against Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. Oh, man. I don't even know where to start, man. Okay. So, here's the thing. This could be both of these main event matches, regardless of how this plays out. You know, we know the stipulations. If Seth and Cody win, the match on night two becomes just Roman and Cody straight up. If it goes to the Bloodline, they win. It's Bloodline rules for night two. So there's a lot of stipulations going on here. But with that being said, I do believe that we'll get a more clear idea of how things are going to play out, not only for night two and whether or not Cody does finish his story or not, but where are the tensions going to lie between The Rock and Roman Reigns following that match? If they don't win, if they do win, is one upset with the other because one person got the pinfall over the guy that they want to get the pinfall over, you know what I mean? I do believe it's an easy bet to pick that the Bloodline and the Rock and Roman Reigns are going to win that match. That's not rocket science, you know. I'm pretty sure that any of us could see that coming. But, you know, that's the question there. Is it good enough for Roman Reigns that he didn't get the pinfall victory on night one? Is that where the tension lies between Rock and Roman? And that bleeds into night two, you know, that's something to look out for. But also at the same time, I just don't think that one way or another that we're going to have a fair fight with Roman and Cody on Sunday. I just don't. I'll be surprised. If Cody does the Queen sweep this weekend in Philadelphia, I'll be shocked. I will legitimately be shocked. Hell, I would be even shocked if they won the tag match, to be honest with you. But I do think one way or another, either Drew McIntyre costs Seth Rollins the match, which helps the Bloodline win, or it's something where, you know, The Rock hits the rock bottom and gets a pinfall over Cody instead of Roman, and they kind of are kind of having a tense situation about it. You know, Roman kind of gets jealous about it. But one way or another, I do think the Bloodline will win, and it'll be Bloodline Rules on Sunday. Let's continue on here. Let's go to night two. So we're going to start off with Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. I think that's pretty easy guess to make there. CM Punk will be on commentary for this match, which I'm looking forward to. This should be a lot of fun. This one could go a lot of different directions. This match could be very telling for the future of Raw and where things are going here. But I think it's time. This is not a knock towards Seth Rollins, because I know a lot of people who do shows like this like to knock Seth Rollins and his character and his quality of this title reign, whatever you want to call it. But I have a lot of respect for Seth Rollins, and he's been busting his ass, and he's been one of the unsung heroes during this build towards WrestleMania. So I have a lot of respect for Seth, but looking from a bigger picture standpoint, I do think that this is time for Drew McIntyre to win the World Heavyweight Championship in front of live fans here. And I think it's time to make a change for the World Heavyweight Championship. So I'm going with Drew McIntyre to defeat Seth Rollins. Will Damian Priest cash in? I don't know. We'll have to see about that. I'm not truly sure. It's definitely a possibility, but I do think that Drew McIntyre, one way or another, will walk out of Philly with the World Heavyweight Championship. But Drew McIntyre will win, at much to the chagrin of CM Punk, and Drew McIntyre's going to be a menace about it. Honestly, I will not be surprised if Drew McIntyre does a GTS or an Anaconda Vice or something like one of those Punk moves, but, you know, who knows, maybe McIntyre gives Rollins a future shock DDT on the floor right from the announce table, right in front of Punk. You know, I have a lot of different thoughts throughout a lot of these matches. This is like the fun part for me when I get to like preview of like a PLE or something like that. I can kind of project of how the match is going to go just due to my experience of transcribing matches like that. So I got a little nerdy there for you guys, but just some things to look out for there. I have Bayley becoming your new women's champion over Io Sky. I think that she will get help from Jade and Bianca and Naomi. They'll feed off the women for damage control. I do think that Bayley will be your new women's champion at WrestleMania. But here's the but here. Bianca, like I said, Bianca, Jade, and Naomi will be out there to support Bayley. I think that Bianca turns on Bayley after the match. So this is a little hot take here because, you know, EST wants to make things about herself. You know, she's been kind of teasing that she's going in a different direction here. I think that she's just that she's not getting her signature moment at WrestleMania, so she's going to take it for herself. She is turning on Bayley after that match. So Bayley will have a nice little moment to win, but Bianca probably turns on her at the match. If that doesn't happen, then we'll see Bayley win. And guess what? She gives Michael Cole a hug. How about that? Let's continue on here. Let's see what we got here. Other matches. Oh, yes. Let's do this one. The grudge match. Special grudge match was made official a couple of weeks ago. You know, we got L.A. Knight against AJ Styles. Dumpy here is sleeping. She's doing all right. She's a good girl. Dumpy. Do a good girl? All right. Sorry about that. L.A. Knight and AJ Styles, they're going to go at it. L.A. Knight pretending to be a security guard on SmackDown front. It was pretty funny. This was to be a grudge match. I think some people are kind of sleeping on this. Maybe this is because people are disappointed that LA Knight is not fighting for a championship at WrestleMania, so they're kind of like thumbing their nose at this match. But honestly, I'm happy for LA Knight, and I'm happy for AJ Styles that they actually have something to do at WrestleMania. So, you know, it's kind of the age-old thing during WrestleMania season. You know, somebody costs you the Rumble match, or in this instance, the Elimination Chamber. Get your revenge. It's on site. So I think that LA Knight will beat AJ Styles, and I'm happy that they're doing this grudge match. I really am. I think it's going to be a good one. You know, nice little showcase for LA Knight in front of a big crowd like that. And, I don't know how long the match is going to be, but I think that it's going to be pretty cool for LA Knight to do that, and I'm happy for him. Let's continue on here, shall we? Let's do this one. The six-man Philadelphia street fight with the Pride and the Final Testament. That match is going to be a barn burner, to say the least. So, if you take a look at it, we got the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley, and we got the Final Testament. Karrion Kross gets to be on WrestleMania. I'm very happy for him. I thought this was going to be a situation where this match was going to be on the pre-show or something like that. So I'm excited for this match. I really am. I think this match is going to be a very physical. Get the tables out. You get your little ECW moments like that. I think that's going to be pretty funny. I don't think we're going to have any flaming table spots, so I think we could temper down the expectations there. But, you know, I think it's interesting. You know, they're in Philadelphia. It's ECW land. You have a ladder match on night one. You have this street fight on night two. I get it. You know, it's going to be a car crash, just like the ladder match would be a car crash. But I do believe, in my opinion, the Pride will beat the Final Testament at WrestleMania. I think it's going to be a good match, and it's going to be very physical, and we'll see how it plays out after the fact, but we'll see how it goes. All right, from there, let's continue on here. We have, here's for me, this is the match that I think could be very underrated. Will this match be the one that steals the entire weekend? I don't know. But it's a triple threat match for the United States Championship with Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton. This match is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I think SmackDown on Friday, they need to get a lot of momentum for that match. So I know that Randy Orton's advertised to be a guest in the Kevin Owens show. We'll see how that plays out. I'm sure Logan Paul will get involved there. So this triple threat match is going to be pretty good, actually. So I'm going to go with Logan Paul to retain. This is a scenario here that we might get Randy's first real feud coming out of his return to WWE, with it being Logan Paul. My bad. I think Randy's first legitimate feud will be with Kevin Owens. I can see these two having a grudge feud with each other after this match. So I think for me, it will definitely be Logan Paul retaining and causing tension between Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. So, you know, last week they had the whole thing where Kevin almost hit Randy with a stunner. Randy almost hit Kevin with an RKO. You know, I'm sure they'll try to pit, you know, these guys against each other. Logan will squeak out another victory, but I think for sure that Logan Paul will walk out of Philly still your United States champion. So with that being said, let's continue on here. We go from there to the main event. What everybody's been waiting for. The most talked about match for over a year. We got Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Will Cody Rhodes finish his story? I said this last year that Cody would would win. I really thought it was going to happen. I thought Cody was going to win. I made the prediction. I was going with my gut feeling and what my heart was telling me that Cody Rhodes would beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania last year. I fell for it. And I had to learn the hard way to not doubt the Tribal Chief. And watching that A&E documentary that was just released this past weekend about Roman Reigns, again, opened my eyes again to really acknowledge what the Tribal Chief has meant to this era of the WWE. And, you know, I could say that, you know, we could go either way. Do the fans become fickle towards Cody if he were to win this match? Is there anybody left to fight Roman if he retains? Do we have another outrage where people are upset and, you know, threatening to cancel the network and stuff like that because Roman retains again? Does it matter if Roman Reigns beats Hulk Hogan's third place standing in the longest reigning championships reigns of all time? There's so many different questions, man. Is it where Seth Rollins betrays Cody Rhodes? Does The Rock betray Roman Reigns? Does John Cena come out? Does Stone Cold Steve Austin come out to fend off the Bloodline? Do we have a wrestling version of Avengers War Game at Lincoln Financial Field? I think that'd be insane. I think that'd be a lot of fun. But so many different questions for this whole situation here. But if you ask my opinion, honestly, I do believe Cody Rhodes will beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40. I can completely understand from a business standpoint if Roman Reigns retains. I'll throw that caveat out there. I'm not gonna be surprised. I'm not even gonna say it's gonna be a bad thing if Roman Reigns did retain. But just seeing with the momentum of how things have been going towards this build towards WrestleMania, I think Roman is walking into this situation too cocky. And in some cases, in a lot of times where you have these overarching characters of like Roman Empire leaders and mafia bosses and stuff like that, sometimes those people take a hit. Sometimes, and they need a reality check. And I think in this situation, Cody Rhodes will win. But it also makes the Tribal Chief take a step back and reevaluate some things and get his shit together and come back even stronger with a bigger attack. So I do believe that Cody Rhodes will retain. No, bad. I think Cody Rhodes will become your undisputed WWE Universal Champion at WrestleMania. I am not saying that as a Cody crybaby because I'm not a Cody crybaby. Actually, I'm a Tribal Chief mark if you want my honest opinion. But I am going with Cody Rhodes. I think it's time Cody Rhodes gets his moment at WrestleMania 40. And those are my predictions for WrestleMania 40. I'd love to hear from you guys, man. Hit me up at the Hoots Podcast. Comment down below this video here on YouTube. Let me get your conspiracy theories and predictions for this show coming up this Saturday. Don't forget to follow along my coverage of WrestleMania 40 on WrestlingHeadlines.com. And that's that. But we got more to do here on the podcast at Hoots. We're not done here. I told you guys this is going to be a long episode this week. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to take a trip. It's something that we didn't get a chance to do last week. You know, we took a week off for this segment, but now more than ever, it's more fitting to bring back one of the most popular segments known to man in the world of professional wrestling, a segment that's worthy of an Emmy, if you ask my opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again to take a trip down to a realm of questions that we like to ask each and every single one of you every single week. Folks, it's time for What the Hell is Wrong with AEW? Let's start this bad boy off in a 3, a 2, a 1.
Your meat, beat your meat, beat your meat, beat your meat, beat your meat. Beat your meat, beat your meat, beat your meat.
I'm telling you, My time is right now. Right this minute, 2022. We're living it. My time is now. My time is right. God damn now.
Man, what intensity.
The quality of the product and the quality of the shows is at an all-time high right now. But I do know that it's a real war between AEW and WWE.
I'm still cashing fat checks, and I am still banging the hottest bitch in this entire place.
It's time for What the Hell is Wrong with AEW?
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright, folks. Welcome back to the Hoots Podcast after What the Hell is Wrong with AEW this week. Well, I spent the first half of this show talking about CM Punk's, talking about what's wrong with AEW and kind of echoing everything that we've been saying on this show for so many years. But this week we had Damage Control, not the faction. We had the Damage Control response from AEW this week. And it came from the R-rated superstar, the man that's been in the company for 6 months, Adam Copeland. I want to play this clip for you guys. Maybe, maybe not. I might get a copyright strike. I don't know. We'll see here. But I got to tell you what, man. I saw the promo last night. I watched Dynamite in its entirety. I watched it live last night. I think the first time in a couple of months I watched Dynamite live. Let me start off with the positive stuff here before I get into this segment here. I liked Will Hobbs and Will Ospreay. I thought it was a good match. I thought Karen Danielson and Lance Archer was decent. I'll throw that out there. Decent. I won't go over the board there. But when I look at Dynamite, there's some things that I liked and some that was just there. You know, we kind of get the yin and the yang. I thought, like I said, those first two couple matches were good. I thought the contract signing with Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland was pretty good. But we'll get to the shenanigans in just a couple seconds. But I do have to say, though, this Dynasty show is just like shaping up to just be the also typical Meltzer five-star classic matches. So you got Swerve and Joe. You're probably going to get FTR and the Young Bucks again because of how this tournament has been playing out for the tag title tournament. Then you got Ospreay and Danielson. That's one that people have been waiting for. One thing that I did forget to mention that I did like from Dynamite last night was the Willow Nightingale promo. I thought it was very good. Very, very good. So I just found the promo here. We're going to play it for you guys here. So we're going to play this promo from Adam Copeland on Dynamite last night. And folks, this is prime example 1A of what's wrong with AEW. Let's play this.
There has. Screw that. I want to talk about positives. And if you're a fan of pro wrestling, man, it is a great time to be a fan of pro wrestling. There is a whole lot of positives right now. If you're sitting here, if you're watching at home, hell, if you can feel compelled to go on social media, even if it's just to complain about pro wrestling, you're a fan of pro wrestling. I am a fan of pro wrestling. You know, I grew up, I watched WWF. No, that's not a reason to boo, man. You're missing the point on this. This is to celebrate all of it. I watched NWA. I watched Stampede Wrestling out of Calgary. I watched Owen Hart start his career. Pretty damn cool. I watched BC All-Star Wrestling out of Vancouver. I watched International Wrestling out of Montreal, and I devoured it all because I love professional wrestling. And I know you've heard this before, but please bear with me because it's close to my heart. For 9 years, I had this torn away from me. Torn away from me. And when I finally got it back, I worked to get it back because I love it so damn much. But when I sat down and I started thinking about the end of my career, because let's face it, I'm closer to the end than the start, I realized that AEW is where I need to end my career. And a lot of people didn't seem to understand that, but I looked at the roster and I saw a murderer's row of talent. I have been in some of the most phenomenal locker rooms of all time, and I will put that locker room up against anybody. I came here because I can face Will Ospreay. I can face Kenny Omega. Hope you're doing good, bud. I can face Hangman. I can face Swerve, Joe, Claudio, Moxley. I can face Darby. I can face FTR. I can face the Young Bucks. I can face Buddy Matthews, Brody King, and Malachi Black. And by the way, those are all first-time ever matches. How crazy is that? That happens in AEW. Now, I got a lot of friends in the industry, right? They call me. They go, man, Adam, it looks like you are having a blast out there. Guess what? I am. This isn't hyperbole. This isn't me knocking anywhere else. I have had a phenomenal career. I have fun everywhere I've been, everything I've done. But this is the most fun that I have had in my entire 32-year professional wrestling career. So I celebrate AEW. I celebrate the men who started AEW. So yeah, that means the Bucks, that means Kenny, that means Cody. And that means Tony Khan. And that should be celebrated. Those guys are all fans of this, just like me, just like all of you. That ain't a negative, that's not something to make fun of, because we love this. AEW has pushed this industry into a better place. AEW has pushed everyone into a better place. It has given more people a chance to do what they love for a living, and that should be celebrated. AEW makes pro wrestling better. AEW makes pro wrestling more fun. And AEW is where the best wrestle.
You know what? I'm making a change here. Originally, I had an idea of just doing a separate clod of the week this week, but now that I've had to watch and listen to that a second time now, ladies and gentlemen, the clod of the week this week goes to Adam Copeland. I thought you had some standards and some self-awareness and the ability to read the room as one of the greatest performers of all time and a guy that I've been a fan of since I was 4 years old. But for you to blur out that rhetoric, that nonsense that spewed out of your mouth a couple minutes ago about how AEW's made professional wrestling better. AEW's makes pro wrestling fun. And AEW is this and that. And for you to even utter the fact that you're having the most fun of your career right now. Okay. Okay. You know, I would 100% understand this promo. And I would even honestly would understand it and respect it if it came from Chris Jericho, even though I don't want to see him on my TV screen anymore. Or, you know, I mean, hell, throw Darby out there. Hell, have MJF come out. He's not doing anything right now. He's injured. He's trying to rehab. You know, good for him. He's got a good piece of waterfall next to him. That helps the situation. But you got MJF. Have them come out and do that rah-rah speech. Have Adam Cole, he's not doing anything. Have them come out and do that speech. But all the words that Adam Cole spewed out in that soliloquy to kick off Dynamite last night rang hollow with me. I don't buy it. I don't think it was authentic. I thought it was forced. And honestly, it's quite laughable, to be honest with you. I know that Tony Khan doesn't have the balls to respond to CM Punk because he knows that Punk is right. Tony Khan does not have the balls to acknowledge the fact that he's inept at his job as a wrestling promoter. I'm not saying that Tony Khan's a bad person, that he doesn't deserve to be in the wrestling business or anything like that. I'm not even knocking Tony Khan on a personal level. I don't know Tony. That's not for me to judge somebody's character. I don't think he's a bad person. I think he needs to lay off the cocaine and weed a little bit. Have some stream of consciousness, especially for a guy who's in has no self-awareness whatsoever as a boss. So, I know that this kind of response was going to come out, whether it's from Adam Copeland or the Three Goose of commentary, that response was going to come. And I was expecting it. And again, I get it. I understand the perspective. But for somebody like Adam Copeland, who's been only with the company for 6 months, to act like he's been there since day one and talk about the good merits of AEW, now's not the time to have that speech. You want people to invest in your product? Put on a good fucking show. How about that? How about putting out a product that doesn't make your eye roll? How about putting out a product that doesn't make you start questioning your IQ? How about having a television show that has an identity? How about we start from there? So, okay, you know, CM Punk made me look bad. So you know what? I'm gonna bring out the guy that I replaced him with. He's gonna do the rah-rah speech. Because basically that's what happened. Anna Copeland goes to AEW to replace CM Punk. Do I believe that Anna Copeland is happy to be in AEW because he could do new matches and he could fight other wrestlers that's not the same people all the time like he was in WWE? Sure. I get it. We're all in the industry and we understand the whole thing about wrestlers or artists and they want to express their art in the ways that they want to do it and blah, 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 blah. But Vince McMahon is not around anymore. So I don't want to hear that excuse and rhetoric from Adam Copeland. Oh, I get all these first time matches ever. And that could only happen in AEW. Okay. Great. Will it mean anything when by the time you have all those matches with Olivier and Darby and FTR and et cetera, the fact that you just did a trilogy with Christian Cage, and guess what? It didn't move any metrics of business whatsoever. Adam Copeland, you are the clown of the week this week. That promo was ridiculous, and I thought you would have the self-awareness to pinpoint when something is stupid like that. Read a fucking room next time. I mentioned stuff that I did like on the program this week. I liked the Will Nightingale promo. I thought she had some good fire, but again, out comes Mercedes Moné.
CEO, CEO, CEO.
Great. Awesome. Never say that. I would never say that Mercedes Moné is not great to look at. She is. She's hot. She really is. But it's so silly about these power rankings for AEW and wins and losses mattering. And like,
oh, hey, guess what? I'm Mercedes Moné, and I'm the greatest wrestler of all time. And guess what? You know, whoever wins the match at Dynasty gets to fight me at Double or Nothing because I'm Mercedes Moné, and I'm the CEO, CEO, CEO.
Give me a break. All right, let's take a look at let's look at the other stuff on the show. Hook, Lion Hook, once again the biggest cloud chaser on God's green earth. Chris Jericho is now latching his hooks onto Hook, and he wants to basically be a mentor. Maybe this bleeds into a feud. Just like all Jericho's views, they go absolutely nowhere, and the guy who's gaining momentum starts losing momentum. And again, get away from the web of Jericho, because your stock will be going down, man. I mean, I thought Thunder Rosa and Mariah May was decent, but does anybody believe that Thunder Rosa going to beat Toni Storm for the championship at Dynasty? I don't. I talked a little bit about the contract signing. I thought it was very good with Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland. I thought that was very entertaining to close out the show. Also, the heel turn for Trent Beretta, I can't say that I did see that coming. He kind of has that vibe where he's kind of maybe like a douche in real life. I could see that in his facial expressions. I'm not saying that Trent Beretta's not a good person or whatever, but I can tell that he probably carries himself with a high esteem and stuff like that. anyways, I do want to say that I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool. So, again, I thought Dynamite was okay. I didn't think it was horrible. I didn't think it made me want to pull my eyes out. But that promo from Adam Copeland just was not the way to start off the show. And, it again, tone deaf. Tone deaf. That's my takeaway from that promo and that show last night. But before we wrap up the segment, like we usually do each week here on What the Hell's Wrong AEW, I ask you a question each and every single week, folks. Are you guys ready for the X-Men impression? Let's do it. Coming to you live on pay-per-view on Sunday, April 21st, from the Chavis Arena in St. Louis, Missouri. It's the inaugural edition of AEW Dynasty. Here's your matches. First, a singles match for the AEW Continental Crown Championship. It's the champion, Kazuchika Okada, taking on Pac. From there, for the Women's World Championship, it's Timeless Toni Storm taking on Thunder Rosa. A match was made official last week on television. It features Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe against the House of Black in a trios match. Next, a house rules match for the AEW TBS Championship as the champion Julia Hart takes on Willow Nightingale. From there, we have the finals of the vacated AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament. The Young Bucks takes on the team of FTR. From there, a dream match, a first-time-ever match here live on pay-per-view. Will Ospreay takes on Bryan Danielson. And the main event for the AEW World Championship, it's Samoa Joe taking on Swerve Strickland. More matches to be announced. Make sure to follow ToyCon on Twitter at ToyCon. Make sure to get all your tickets right now at awtix.com. Repeat, that's awtix.com. And on that note, folks, we post a question each and every single week, folks. You let me know. What the hell's wrong with AEW?
This has been What the Hell is Wrong with AEW.
What do you think?
Fuck.
this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me, I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
All right then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Okay. What the hell is wrong with AW's in the books? And ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we'll get to our main event segment this week. A fun, supersized edition of the Hoots Podcast this week for episode 407. When we come back, we'll get to our questions segment, otherwise known as the Back Porch Q&A session, right here on episode 407 of the Hoots Podcast. We'll be right back. Yeet. Welcome back, everybody, to the Hoots Podcast. Time for one more segment to do here on the podcast at Hoots. Our main event segment, otherwise known as the Back Porch Q&A session. As always, if you have any questions for the Back Porch Q&A session, all you have to do is hit me up at Twitter, at the Hoots Podcast, or the Hoots Podcast at gmail.com. With that being said, we only got a few set of questions here for the good brother Chris Zaletta at X Team Zaletta 24X at Twitter. Throw out the X here for Chris. Appreciate the support. As always, good brother. Let's see what he's got for us this week. What up, Boost? Here's some questions for the Q&A this week. How has the trip been to Puerto Rico? It was fantastic. I had a really good time. I was only there for 4 days. I got back late Monday night going into Tuesday morning. The flight back here was fucking brutal. But besides that, you know, maybe Mother Nature could be another winner of the Clown of the Week this week. But I had a great time, man. Like I said at the beginning of the show, it was really special for me to have that time to reconnect a little bit with some of the cousins that I kind of lost touch with or haven't seen in a long time. So that was cool. Just being out in that environment with having everybody together with that setting was really nice. And it was nice. I really appreciated it. I definitely know for myself, I definitely will need to have another vacation just strictly by my own, by lonesome. So I had to do that soon. But for the most part, man, I had a great time with the family, and I was glad we were able to have that for all of us, and it's gonna be a great memory to have down the road. A lot of great memories with our family. You know what? Let me do this. I never did this before. Let me show you a picture from the trip here. You know, we kind of sometimes I like to keep things close to the chest when it comes to my personal stuff with my family, but I do want to do this for you guys and show you some stuff from the trip here, and show you a picture that I took down in Humacao. Let me find this photo for you guys. I got a couple, actually, I'm going to share. Just 1 second here. Okay. We got them right here. Cool. So I'm going to pull this up here. This is going to be strictly for those who are on YouTube. If you guys are listening to the audio version, you may want to go to YouTube and find this part of the show. But I am going to show here. Let me remove that, actually. We got to do this properly. We got to do this. Bam. All right. Here we go. this is my family. From my dad's side of the family, we had the Lopez family reunion. I am the oldest grandchild from my dad's side of the family. So they had me towards the end here. So you see yours truly making some progress. We're here to honor my Wello and Wella. They're down there at the bottom right there. Next to them in the middle is my youngest cousin, Layla. She just turned 6 recently. And she is a ball of energy. Some may call her a roadrunner. She's going to be a rock star. She is a ball of energy. Then up here, we got to the left-hand side, got my cousin Lucas, who's 14 and about to start high school soon. Got my other cousin Nolito, who's turning 21 this year, I believe, which is insane. I'm getting really old. Next to him is Lucas's brother, Gino, another cousin of mine. I actually went to, I remember this when Gino was like Layla's height, actually. We went to a wrestling show at the Rosemont Horizon in 2011. That was a lot of fun. And then next to me is my wonderful cousin, Gina. She is a police officer here in Chicago. And she is a tremendous woman, and it was great to get to see her. I haven't seen her in a long time, so it was really nice to see her. And it was just a great time. So bring you a little bit to my life, folks. So that's my Rican side of the family. So I just wanted to share that with you guys there. So we all they made custom shirts for the trip. And wore that, and then you know, it's kind of interesting to be in a position where you're kind of the older statesman of a group. So like I'm the oldest grandchild there, and you know, it's not a bad thing. You know, I'm only turning 30 this year. My life's not over yet. But it was a great time, man. I really did. I appreciate you asking me that, Chris. But all in all, man, I have no complaints about the trip, man. It was special for a time that we got to spend with each other. And I appreciated the invite and appreciate the time that we got to spend with each other. So that's really my takeaway from it. So I had a good time. All right, let's continue on here with the questions here. More likely to change hands at Mania, US or IC title? Good question. I'll go with the IC title. I'll go with that. There's five spots on your Mania Mount Rushmore. Who's your five for this decade? Good question. Very good question. I'm going to go with Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch. I think that's fair. Roman Reigns, Becky Lynch, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, and Charlotte Flair. Those would be my five for the Mount Rushmore. But that's a great question there, too. Thoughts on Punk interview and Adam's response last night? The Punk... Chris, you got to go back to the beginning of the show, man. I laid it all in detail and it mentioned it. What the hell's wrong with AWI? Adam Copeland's response was tone deaf. That's all I was saying. Thoughts on the Stefon Diggs trade? Where do you put Houston among teams in the AFC next season? Well, shout out to the good brother Mike Rubio, man. I want to hear any complaining about your teams next year. I don't want to hear any complaining from you this next football season. They are loading up with a lot of good players, man. So people watch out for Houston. They're going to be on the rise. Will I say this makes Houston a instant Super Bowl contender? I don't know yet, but they're going to be a force to reckon with for sure. So hopefully they got some good reassurance policies because you never know how it is with quarterbacks, especially in their second year. Maybe they get injured or whatever, but hopefully they got a good backup rotation there. But oh, it's a big deal. I think Houston's going to be a very good team. Do the Usos reunite at the WrestleMania? I'll say yes. I do believe that they will reunite with each other. Will Dragunov be on the main roster at the WrestleMania? No. I think Dragunov will be part of the main roster following SummerSlam time. Or when we get to that Bash in Berlin show. Let's say like Gunther is the main event of that show. He retains the IC title. The IC title is the main event of the Bash in Berlin show. And he wins. Out comes Ilya Dragunov at the end of the show. Or maybe you can have Dragunov pop up at the Clash of the Castle. I saw that announcement that's coming back this year. I think that's awesome. Clash of the Castle will be in Scotland this year on June 15th. I'm looking forward to it. So Clash of the Castle will be there. Let's see. Let's continue on here. Where do you think Mania will be held next year? I think it's going to be in Minnesota. That's my guess. I thought there's a chance for Vegas, but I think it'll be Minnesota. Then maybe the year after that, they'll probably go to Nashville at that new stadium that they're building for the Titans. So I'm going to go with Minnesota for sure. Does Priest cash in? I want to say yes, but I want to hold it off for the Raw after WrestleMania. That's just me personally, but I wouldn't be surprised if Priest did try to cash in this weekend. We'll see. We'll see. Should Seth Rollins come out to the Shield theme in gear for his tag match, or his theme in some kind of gear that relates to the Rock Survivor Series debut? I've been seeing that a lot on Twitter recently. You're not new to that one, Chris. A lot of people are saying that Seth Rollins should come out and stress this. Rocky might be. I thought that's funny. It'd be kind of funny if Cody came out with the tactical vest too. You know, like it's Cody and Seth all come out together as the Shield. I would pop for that. I think that'd be hilarious, actually. So that's a possibility. Does Seth come out as Rocky Maivia? I don't know. Maybe. Hey, what if Cody comes out dressed up as Rocky Maivia? Why not? He wants to talk about Mama Rose all the time. Have him come out as Rocky Maivia. Why does that have to be Seth? Have Seth come out with the tactical gear and Cody comes out as Rocky Maivia. Why the hell not? Hell, have Cody come out as Black Adam. I'm sure that'll pop some people. Oh, man. Which match are you looking forward to the most at Stand and Deliver? Good question. This is the last question here for the questions this week. That's a great question, Chris. This card is very, very good. I think for me, from a fan standpoint, I'm obviously very interested in Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. That's going to be a fun environment for that match. At the same time, though, Chris, I am going to say, for me personally, from a transcription point of view, I am most excited for Laya Valkyria and Roxanne Perez. I think that match is going to be awesome. Maybe the best women's match that entire weekend. But also, I'm also excited for the Wolf Dogs and Nathan Frazier and Axiom. That's going to be a very good match as well. But thank you, Chris, as always, for the questions, brother. You can hit up Chris every single week at, or every day if you like, on Twitter at XCTLED24X on Twitter. By the way, you can follow yours truly at Twitter at The Hoots Podcast, Instagram at Josh Lopez Music. Make sure to follow along my coverage of WrestleMania 40 and NXT Stand and Deliver this weekend at Wrestling Headlines. Just check out the results section and you can find the articles there. I appreciate the support. Don't forget to like this video and subscribe to our channel as we're on the road to 1,000 subscribers here on YouTube. That will really help expand the reach of the show. And also, don't forget to follow the podcast of Spotify, the audio versions, that really helps us out a lot as well. So all that being said, have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Hope everybody and my friends and colleagues who are in Philly this weekend to cover WrestleMania have a blast, and you guys deserve it. And if you're going to these shows, also make sure to wear some deodorant and put on some cologne and don't walk around Philly as if you're like a fucking Viking. You don't have to do that. I'm excited for this weekend. I'm excited to put out some good content for you guys. Am I bummed out that I'm not there this weekend? I am, but I'm gonna make sure that I give you the best play-by-play articles that you get this weekend. That's a damn shoot. So I hope you guys enjoy WrestleMania. Hope you guys enjoy Stand and Deliver, and just try to have fun with this stuff, man. It's not the end of the world. And I love you all. Have a wonderful weekend. And we'll talk to you and recap everything that happened at WrestleMania 40 right here next week on episode 408 of the Hoots Podcast. I love y'all. Enjoy Mania. We'll talk to y'all next week. Yeet.
Bye-bye, bitch.